Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a very special Tuesday night edition of Boxing Legends with, Hall of Fame matchmaker and promoter, the incomparable Mr. Don Chargett. Before we introduce the star of the program, we do want to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by Affordable Dentures, 240 locations nationwide. For more information, please visit the show's sponsor at affordabledentures.com, but ladies and gentlemen, it is always a real honor to welcome this six-decade fight legend to the program, the incomparable Mr. Don Warawik Chargan. Don, how the heck are you this evening, sir?
Very good, Joseph. Very good. Another great night.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've had back-to-back thrilling events on HBO with first Canelo Alvarez in Houston last weekend, and now Triple G Gennady Golovkin at the Great Western Forum in Inglewood. You know, and it's, do you think, Don, this was kind of much needed for boxing to stage two of these events right after, well, the very seemingly unpopular Mayweather versus Pacquiao pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, this was the best thing that happened to boxing, those two fights. I mean, the people, and they really shouldn't, because Floyd fought a typical Floyd Mayweather fight. He's very clever, defensively minded. He went out, and he's not going to change. You know, he's 38 years old now. He's been a pro for 19 years, and, you know, you don't change. I mean, he's very, very clever. You can't take that away from him. But as far as people going there and getting excited and not, unless you love defensive boxing, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and that seems to be the case, especially among the mainstream and casual fight fans. Obviously, the diehard fight fans, well, they knew that this was a distinct possibility going into this event, and you don't really hear them bellyaching about the entire thing, at least the ones who, well, weren't rooting for Manny Pacquiao.
No, that's right.
But in recent news, and it was published by Miss Kimberly Pearsall on Boxing Scene, it looks like the Mayweather-Pacquiao aftermath is still upon us, like a black shroud.
Oh, I know. Like, it looks like that's not going to go away anytime soon.
Oh, my goodness. We are up to now, according to this report, 32 class action lawsuits that allege that Pacquiao should have disclosed a shoulder injury before the fight. Now, this is a lawsuit filed in Texas. Now, listen to this, Don. This is what it states, and this is verbiage directly from the suit, the affidavit. It states, the fight was not great, not entertaining, not electrifying. It was boring, slow, and lackluster. And the lawsuit then alleges a racketeering claim.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Have you ever heard, I mean, in your entire vast, impressive tenure in the sport, have you ever seen anything like this? And keep in mind, guys, and I'm just going to give a footnote to the audience. Don goes back to a time where the mob actively, controlled the champions in the sport. Now, I'm sorry, Don, as you were, is this unprecedented, what you're seeing today?
Oh, yes, it is. Even when the mob controlled it, they knew that the fights had to be good. That wasn't their thing. They wanted control of the fighters by being able to say when they were going to fight and who they were going to fight. But they were as upset as anybody if they had a bad fight. And, you know, everything is styles. I mean, you've just, when you match Floyd and it's going to be in a venue like this where they charge that kind of money, I mean, you've got to make sure that it's going to be somebody that's going to try to jump on them. And that's hard to do. But, you know, I think I might have mentioned it to you, Joseph, I was in Houston for the Canelo fight, and when the fight was over, I was standing there, and I've never seen so many happy people. They were elated, and I think, in, you know, Kirkland's a Texas boy, and I imagine that he had a lot of fans for him, too, but everybody was satisfied. You had two warriors there that gave everything they could, and people were happy, and you saw the reaction to Triple G the other night. People were happy. They got their money's worth, you know, and they're going to be boxing fans for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the whole tragedy of it. It's, you know, the two fighters that were competing on May 2nd. They had that distinct privilege and almost a responsibility. They had that opportunity to transcend the sport to an unprecedented pay-per-view audience, which, from what we're hearing, I mean, the official numbers right now, according to the tallies right now, are 4.4 million pay-per-view buys. But
amazing.
Everyone involved seems to think that it could actually exceed 5 million before all of this is said and done. And so, knowing that, though, Don, is there some responsibility to the fighters, or this is just the theater of the unexpected? And it's unreasonable
is,
for anyone to think otherwise.
No, I mean, it's a responsibility, but listen, Mayweather is Mayweather. He's fought that way all his life. Joseph, he's not going to change. I mean, you can go the thing where they're throwing insults around and everything, but the second that bell rings, you can just see it in his face. He's going to go out there. He's going to try to outsmart the guy with a minimum of effort. He's, you know, that's the way, you know, I've seen Floyd from the start of his career, and he's been that way. Very, very smart, cagey fighter that, you know, it's not going to get hit if he can help it.
Absolutely. And so we look at what is the, in your expert opinion, Don, what is the worst case scenario, right? The potential long-term effects, this, you know, the Mayweather-Pacquiao aftermath, what is the potential long-term effect it could have on the overall health of the sport?
Well, listen, I don't know if you know, but I can feel it. With the two fights that followed, Canelo and Triple G, already a big majority of fans, they're starting to forget it. Not the people with the lawsuits and that, but the fight fans. I mean, look at the great crowd for Canelo, a great crowd for Triple G. So, you know, and the people know it. When they go to see those two guys, they know that they're going to put out. And that's going to be, and for Floyd, for his last fight, I see today he said he wants somebody that will extend him. But really, there's nobody that's going to extend him. There's nobody that's going to make him fight any harder. He's going to do it at his own pace, and that's going to be it. He can't change after all these years.
Hmm. Very good. Very good. And we're going to talk about those two fighters as well as some other prospective big-time marquee names that could actually be the torchbearers of boxing in the future after Mayweather-Pacquiao retire. That's going to be coming up later in Don's segment. But, Don, when you look at the mainstream, I guess, the fighters, the product that's on the mainstream level, do you think this has the potential of really affecting Al Haymon's efforts the most? Because he's the one who's, his product is the one who's seemingly most, I guess, rampantly visible on mainstream TV. He's got a fight card in Boston, Massachusetts, coming up on NBC this Saturday night. Do you think that this could really make, kind of be the catalyst for really tanking Al Haymon's efforts?
In which way?
When you in just, I mean, because obviously he's trying to put forth a product that is, he's trying to appeal to the mainstream and casual sports fan of America, obviously putting his product on mainstream TV, NBC. Mm-hmm. You know, with their negative sentiment, their negative attitude, overwhelmingly negative, in the fallout of the Mayweather-Pacquiao super fight. Do you do you think they're going to give Al Haymon's product a legitimate chance to entertain them in their living rooms?
Joseph, like I always tell you, if he can put on some barn burners, if he can have some all, but if he follows it up on TV with safety first fighters and all that, yes, it could hurt him immensely. Because right now, your boxing fan, they're talking. Did you see the rating that Canelo got? The rating that, and Canelo had over a million more viewers than even Triple G had.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he has to contend with. Because these guys are always going to be in those kind of fights. I mean, that's Canelo. He's taken some of the worst styles and fought them, and you know, and still won the fight. But you see, if you put him in with somebody that'll fight you, and boy, you've got a fight.
You know, that seems to be the case with Mayweather, though, because we saw a very, very entertaining fight last year May 3rd, in his, I guess, effort, his first effort with Marcos Maidana.
Right.
Is that what Mayweather needs to do in his swan song with Showtime Sports in September?
That's
And who do you see that actually being, Don?
I'm afraid that, I don't know, it just seems like they just keep talking to Mir Khan, who Khan is quick and everything, but it won't bother Mayweather. You know, it could be the same thing. Mayweather going to go out, and if it's the 12 rounder, he'll win 9 or 10 of the 12 rounds.
Mm. Wow. Jeez. So, you know, when you look at Al Haymon's current business model, he looks like he's really scoffing at the traditional business model that has been, well, it's time tested. It's been implemented within the sport as long as, well, you've been involved, Don. And mm-hmm. It almost seems like he's scoffing at it, and he wants basically to it almost seems like he's not paying attention, any attention to the grassroots campaign that has always, well, cultivated the big, big stars of boxing. It's almost just trying to reward the talented individuals who aren't really big ticket sellers, and he's trying to use the platform to create these stars. I don't know if that's going to work, Don, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it ever has.
No, it hasn't. You've got to get ticket sellers in there, and you've got to have a lively audience in that. That's what what makes boxing. You know, you can't, you get the, like right now, and it's silly because it's not the time for it. They're talking Canelo and Golovkin. Well, that could be a huge fight. Give it time to percolate. You can't just throw them in. I told you the story of years ago when they were just out of their teens, Danny Little Red Lopez and Bobby Chacon. When they started, the newspapers were clamoring, why won't Chargan make this? This is a good six-round fight. Well, I wouldn't. When they finally forced me to do it, it was too big for the Olympic. We had 18,000 people at the sports arena, and they were both babies that a short time later both became world champion. If they would have let me alone on it, we could have waited a year, gone to the Coliseum, and had 40 or 50,000 people for the same fight. But it's just
wow.
Like now, could you imagine if they keep going now and they have two, three, four fights each, Golovkin and Canelo, what that would be?
Wow. Yeah, that's a super fight, Don. That's a super fight, and obviously that's a pay-per-view worthy fight. But do you think there's still going to be that market for the big pay-per-view platform? Do you think Mayweather-Pacquiao might have really hindered the money-making potential from this point forward? And how long do you think that's going to linger on if that's the case?
Oh, if you followed close with the pay-per-view, oh, definitely. It would definitely hurt. But I think by the time we get ready for another major pay-per-view fight and the fighters that will be featured will have gotten some sensational wins on free television, then it'll be different. But no, you're right. If say that in the next 30, 45 days there was a pay-per-view fight, oh boy, they would suffer.
So do you think the audience would be, I guess, receptive once again? I guess by the time September rolls around, when hopefully it is, and it all depends on whether or not Cotto gets past Daniel Gill. Obviously, it gets your stamp of approval as far as matchmaking goes. You think this is a very favorable matchup for Miguel Cotto. So if everything goes according to plan, you know.
No, that's right.
Is,
and Cotto and Canelo is a natural for several reasons. Their styles, the fans know their styles. They both come to fight. You've got the Mexican against the Puerto Rican. The huge fan bases for both of them. I mean, it is big. But for Floyd to come back now on a pay-per-view fight, you know, that would really be tough.
So do you think it's going to be advantageous of Golden Boy and HBO to air this thing and go head-to-head with Floyd Mayweather if Floyd is stubborn enough to keep it on that same Mexican Independence Day weekend? Because,
well, listen,
you know,
don't forget,
all indicators historically point to that being a distinct possibility.
Yeah, don't forget, Floyd still, he gets $32 million minimum no matter what happens. That's the last fight in his contract with Showtime. And he's guaranteed $32 million. Which before this fight, $32 million was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
To show you the difference, when Ali and Frazier fought their first fight at the Garden, they were guaranteed $1 million each. And writers were writing, they didn't believe it, because nobody could get that kind of money. And that was $1 million each. When Ali and Foreman fought, they got the Rumble in the Jungle. They got $5 million each, and everybody said then that can't be true. $5 million. Now here's a guy. What's he going to get? $180
million? Wow. My goodness. Yeah, I think that's why everyone is so up in arms about this thing. But here I'm going to go back to that article in Boxing Scene, talking about, well, just the backlash and the overall sentiment. They spoke with a local club owner who is actually part of one of the class action lawsuits in California, and he actually called it a cash grab situation, almost like it's petty theft.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Don, so what does boxing have to do? I mean, just other than just putting on great fights, what can
put on
boxing
great fights?
Do?
That's it. And the people don't realize here we're talking about the aftermath. The Canelo fight drew 31,500 people. I mean, that's and that was a week after the Floyd Pacquiao fight. 31,000 people, and I'll tell you, I watched those people going out. They were some happy, happy boxing fans. They weren't even thinking about the Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Absolutely. And, and it's funny. When you talk about, and I always liken this, the business model of boxing, the traditional one, I always liken it to that of the music industry in which, well, trends always dictate which acts the record labels, record executives will choose to invest in, choose to actually nurture and cultivate. And it's the same thing with boxing. How do you see this trend potentially affecting, I guess, the kind of prospects that the promoters will choose to sign and work with?
Well, listen, any promoter likes somebody that is action and that. I mean, but whoever would have thought that with his style and everything that Floyd would generate the amount of people and all that, you know, in my little beach town where I live, walking down the street before the fight, people that I, you know, had, I didn't know that even knew about boxing would stop me on the street and say, "You're going to watch the Mayweather fight? Oh, it should be great." I mean, it was just, I was just praying, "Oh, I hope it is great. I hope it is great."
Jeez. Yeah, you warned us that this was a possibility, Don, that you didn't see this ending well for anyone in the sport if it didn't live up to billing. And not only did this not, well, according to the, because honestly to me, and I know you didn't have a huge problem with it on a personal level, because I didn't have a problem with the fight. I thought it was fine. I thought the event was spectacular. I thought it was a very entertaining prize fight. And it wasn't nearly as bad as well, a lot of mainstream and casuals are making out to be. But, yeah, it really, really tanked. And it's become somewhat of a consensus among mainstream and casual sports fans. So we'll see, guys, what's going to actually happen. But let's go back to the image of boxing, because it almost seems like people have carried around this, well, dirty kind of underhanded kind of image of boxing, well, since the involvement of the mob. But what you just said earlier in the show really was very insightful, that even the mob realized that you couldn't control the product or else fight fans would just refuse to buy tickets and wouldn't tune in.
Oh, that's right. So, I mean, the what people don't realize, the fight fans can care less about the politics of boxing. That's why, one thing always, I've had many world title fights and that, and I've got in the ring twice in my life. One time, my wife pushed me in when Tony Lopez won the lightweight title. And when we went to France and Loretto Garza won the junior welterweight title. I got in the ring then because I was so happy for Loretto. He was such a good kid. But that's been the only time. People do not care who promotes the fight. They don't care who the managers are. Anything. All they care, they want a good fight. And that's what you have to give them. If you don't give them a good fight where they get excited and all that, but, you know, they just don't care about the politics of boxing. They don't care about boxing commissions or fighters having trouble making weight and all that. The fans, they're not interested in that. They plunk down their money. They sit there at ringside. They want to be entertained.
So why do you think, though, I mean, because this isn't just boxing diehards. Boxing diehards, and yeah, you brought up a great point. And, well, boxing, you know, the diehard fan base, the diehard community, being way too hard on the promoters and fighters, wanting these matchups now before their money-making potential is recognized. But, you know, even among mainstream and casuals, why do you think they're so unforgiving and so scrutinizing of the sport when they seem to have a very healthy case of sports amnesia when it comes to all of the other recognized big American leagues? Like, you look at football, the NFL. Well, there was a very, very controversial Super Bowl several years ago between the Steelers and the Seahawks, in which a lot of the Seahawks fans were justified in being somewhat disgruntled because of some of the controversial calls that were made by the refs. Yet a year later, no one even remembers that or even brings that up.
No,
but in boxing, they bring up things 30 years ago, Don.
Yeah, boxing has always been a whipping boy of sports. But I still say you give them good fights and everything else goes out the window. They want good fights, and that is it. Listen, I'll give you. I took a fighter named Jimmy Robertson, good solid lightweight, to Panama to fight Roberto Duran. It was the first time I had seen Roberto on television, but this is when he was just really starting to make his mark. He was 135 pounds of pure dynamite. Well, he took this Jimmy Robertson. The first punch he hit him with, through the mouth guard and everything, all his front teeth went out.
Wow.
He knocked Jimmy out, I think it was in the second round. I couldn't wait to, I got very friendly with his manager, Carlos Aleta, and I brought him to the Olympic. I put him in with a tough, tough Mexican kid from Mexico named Cachorro Medina. Duran stopped him in the eighth round, but it was not a good fight. He did not make a hit. And this was the great Roberto Duran, so you never know. Then I thought, oh, that you know, they can't be. So we had a big title fight at the sports arena, and I had Duran in a companion 10-rounder against a tough lightweight named Javier Ayala. They went through, it was in the 10th, the final round. They didn't excite anybody. Duran hit him with a shot, and the guy went down, and at the sports arena, the bell was on like an electric box where there was a button, and that would the timekeeper would press that. Well, Ayala's head hit that box and the bell. There was still like 2 minutes left in the round.
Oh,
and
no.
As hurt as he was, got up, a confusion and everything, he was able to last the round. So, again, Duran, that was two fights in a row, did not make a hit. Another promoter brought him, and he knocked out Pepino Cuevas and was sensational after that. So you just never know the big names or anybody, you never know when they're going to make a hit.
Boy, you're absolutely right. And it's funny, leading into the Gennady Golovkin fight, a lot of pundits were a little concerned with the style of Monroe.
He
was going to make Gennady Golovkin look less than Sterling. And then lo and behold, well, we see another sensational knockout. Not only that, but Gennady Golovkin, after the fight, claimed that he carried Willie Monroe for a couple rounds to give the fight fans and to paraphrase Gennady Golovkin, a big drama show and a present.
Yeah. No, but I think after that fourth round, when Monroe was hitting him pretty good, then you knew he wanted to get him out of there.
Absolutely, Don. So and from what a lot of ringside observers are stating, a lot of experts have been following the sport for a long time. They're looking at, well, these guys, because of the, well, lack of other options on the big pay-per-view platform, we could see this matchup recognized as early as Cinco de Mayo weekend, 2016. Is that a distinct possibility? If everything goes according to plan on both parties,
it's always a possibility. I'd like to see him wait a little longer, but it's a distinct possibility.
Now you're an advisor to Team Canelo as well as Oscar De La Hoya, his promoter, Golden Boy Promotions. Do you see Canelo being able to wait that long to step in the ring with Gennady Golovkin, or knowing him, do you think he's going to want to take him on before, Oscar really want?
Oh, Canelo, if you said you're going to make the fight in 3 weeks, he'd be happy. No, you have
wow.
to. Look at, we didn't want him at the time he fought Floyd. We thought he was a year away, but and he's the one that wanted this with Lara and Austin Trout. I mean, you don't look for those kind of opponents. They're tough to look good with. They're good fighters, but he fought them. His claim is that he learns when he fights smart guys like that with tough styles and that. He's got it in his mind that really helps him. So,
wow.
So far, he's been successful.
Well, we're going to actually talk about Canelo, talk about Gennady a little bit later. But let's go back to Mayweather and Pacquiao. Now, Aram, and it seems like Camp Mayweather, Roger Mayweather today stated that, yeah, a rematch with Pacquiao is a likely possibility.
Oh.
Don, why would they actually talk about this at this time, in your opinion?
Well, I guess they think that they would get another $180 million. I mean, what else? I mean, they know, they see the reaction to the fight. You could make a rematch, but people aren't going to be paying that $25,000 and $50,000 for seats and all of that. You'd never get that again for that particular fight.
Now, it's funny. It's funny. Now, you've noticed this trend, though, and it's funny. Bob Arum over the years, and he's been very proud of this, where he will just throw something out to the media, right? Whether or not it makes sense, well, that's a moot point. But he will do this, and he's done this over his career. Do you think the idea of just throwing something out to the media and it taking root, do you think that's, well, run its course when you're talking about Bob Arum?
Yeah, well, he likes to get it. I don't know if you noticed today, he said, I watched the fight again very close, and I had Manny by 2 points. Well, he was scoring with his heart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very hard to take him seriously at this point. Don, so we're going to go to the because honestly, I don't see a demand for a rematch.
No.
But from a business standpoint, Mayweather wants to fight, if Mayweather wants to fight past his contractual obligation with Showtime, which is coming up in September, what other fights are on the horizon for Mayweather and Pacquiao that could possibly bring in that kind of revenue after this showing?
Oh, nothing that's going to bring in that kind of revenue, Joseph. Nothing. I mean, look, you see what's... Oh, maybe if he fought, say, Golovkin. But you know he's not going to fight him. I mean, Golovkin says he would make 54 for Floyd.
Wow.
And really, believe me, Golovkin would have no picnic with Floyd. You know, he might not be pretty out there, but he is very, very smart.
So do you, in your professional opinion, do you see Golovkin having, I mean, because you look at his style match, and I can understand why boxing diehards are clamoring for that fight, even though it's more than likely not going to happen. I think we have a snowball's chance in Hades of that actually happening. But then you look at the style matchup in which Golovkin is probably the most effective aggressor in boxing. His ability to cut off the ring and close the distance proficiently is incomparable, at least now, right now. Do you think Mayweather still has his way with Gurr, or at least gives Golovkin a very, very tough fight?
It's a tough fight. No, I make it a tough fight. But what I'm saying is when people talk about it, they say, oh, well, Floyd wouldn't fight him. You know, the guy would do this to him and that. No, listen, he would have his hands full with. You know, I don't know if you noticed in the fourth round the other night, and I'm a real Golovkin fan, but, you know, poor Willie Monroe, he just can't knock your hat off. But he was hitting Golovkin with some good punches. He had his head snapping back there. See, he still needs, we're all talking about Golovkin and everything, but for him to take that next step to where he's a household name and is going to just draw beyond belief, he needs that one signature win. If that's where he goes out and he's very impressive to where the average fight fan is saying, boy, I'd like to see him fight Mayweather or something like that. The clamor is not there yet. It is for some of the boxing fans, but the thing that happened with the Pacquiao fight, I mean, look at the figures. And you talk to people that is the only fight they've seen in their life. And that's the way it's got to be. I mean, for that to double what Oscar and Mayweather did, and that was huge at the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Couldn't knock his hat off. I'm still laughing about that, Don. That's a good one. But, and the problem with Golovkin, right, and we'll go into our next segment of who you really feel has that potential of being, well, one of the next big cash cows of the sport when Mayweather and Pacquiao eventually retire. And obviously, Gennady Golovkin is on that list of candidates. But, yes, you're absolutely right. It always takes that somewhat passing of the torch, that one big performance against an existing marquee name. But that has to come at the expense of another fighter.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, it can be when... Just
I'm
imagine
sorry, ahead,
when it is ever made, the winner, how big the winner of Canelo and Golovkin, if they meet, would be.
Wow. You know, it's funny, Don, because our friend and colleague, Mr. James Gogi, believes that, well, he still gives the edge to Golovkin for the obvious reasons at this point in time. He's just a bigger, stronger guy. He's got the heavy hands. But he saw what you did this past Saturday, and he sees a lot of holes from mid to short range in Golovkin's defense. Do you see Canelo being able to win that fight?
Oh, yeah.
Because Canelo put out a tweet that basically said, well, I don't see anyone who's going to be real competition for me at 160, almost taking a stab at Golovkin. And
yeah,
we've heard
sure. Well, Golovkin has taken plenty of him, so he wanted I figured he would come up with something like that.
So,
no, but that could be really built into something huge. And they will talk about it more when Golovkin gets that one signature win.
Very good. Well, hopefully it happens sooner rather than later, Don. But I also want to bring up a couple names and talk about their chances, likelihood of possibly becoming, because you just never know in this business, do you, who the public is going to actually anoint as the next big star of boxing. Obviously, you guys like Canelo for the obvious reasons. Fan-friendly fighter. He's got elite-level athleticism, talent, skill set. He looks tremendous. He looks to be the part. He's got the rabid fan base. He seems to be the front runner to really take that mantle. Now, Deontay Wilder, what are the chances you think of him actually really being that, well, the big name of boxing, the front runner, the cash cow?
Well, again, his chin held up in the Severn fight. He's not going to be. This is awful that Eric Molina with him in his next fight. That's a one round fight. But he's one of those. We just have to really the jury is out. We have to see. He looks like he has all the physical tools. And you know how it is with heavyweights. They could, in one night, they could be made. In one night, they can be ruined.
Oh,
so I'm
boy,
anxious to see him with the name. I'll tell you who I liked the other night. And for a flyweight, you're going to hear plenty about this kid, is that Roman Gonzalez. Oh, my gosh. He is terrific.
Oh, gosh.
There's some good young fighters around. I like that Nicholas Walters.
Mm-hmm.
The good fighter. And then the kid from Omaha I really like.
Terrence Crawford. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He seems to have the skill set. He seems, and the thing I love about Crawford.
I think we're in pretty good shape with young fighters coming up.
I think we're in very good shape. The future definitely looks bright for boxing, regardless of what the popular sentiment seems to be in the mainstream and casual sports crowd. But one last name I'd like to bring up to you, Don. And this is a gentleman who was being touted as the next big thing of boxing, the next Floyd Mayweather. And he somewhat faltered on when he faced Marcos Maidana. And you were in the audience because you had Bebut Shumanov on the undercard as well. That was Adrian the Problem Broner. And his career really hasn't seemed to recover since then. Do you think he still has that potential of being a big, big star in the sport of boxing? Or do you think, because a lot of people seem to think, Don, that this scheduled fight with Showtime Sean Porter, former IBF champion, a lot of people are writing that this is a cash out fight.
Yeah, a lot of people have been down on him. They were real high on him until the Madonna fight and the way the way he handled him and that. So we'll see. That fight's going to tell a lot about his career, the Porter fight.
Yeah,
but
so
he has been somewhat
of a
disappointment.
Oh, gosh, yeah. In your experience as a matchmaker promoter, why do you think they're putting him in with a guy like Sean Porter, who is, boy, in my opinion, Don, this is a very, very difficult style matchup for Adrian Broner.
Well, the from what I understand, is he liked the style of Porter, the fighter and his trainer did. That's who they really wanted to fight, so we'll see how he is at picking his opponent.
Wow. Well, Don, we've gone over your customary time, and we want to thank you for being on tonight. Do you have any parting shots for all of our listeners this evening, sir?
No, just the same thing. Support those fights. Go out and see your local guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don, thank you so much for being on the show. Guys, the incomparable Mr. Don Chargan. Don, thank you so much for being
thank
on the
you,
air this
Joe.
Evening, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening, sir. Well, guys, that was the incomparable Mr. Don Chargan. And I tell you what, it's very, very interesting, guys. It's very, very difficult, guys, to see the road ahead in the sport of boxing. Obviously, to casual and mainstream fight fans, well, it's going to be very difficult to forgive and forget because of the negative image that boxing actually has. In my opinion, now, Don obviously states, and he's a firm believer in one great fight, well, can give people that healthy sports amnesia that they actually show for other sports franchises, other leagues, that, and we've seen this in the other leagues, that winning is always the best, salve for their own personal or respective wounds. I don't know if it's that simple when it comes to boxing. You're talking about, and I thought Don was very insightful in stating that, well, this is a sport that people love to hate. They've always been the whipping boy in the sporting world within America, even in its heyday. I think it's going to take a lot more on the mainstream level than just putting together some barn burners. And I honestly believe that the person, the party that's going to suffer the most from this, aside from Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, the obvious, I think Al Haymon's efforts on mainstream TV is going to suffer the most. Think about this, guys. If Mayweather and Pacquiao had scored a big hit on May 2nd, boy, the spillover would have been immeasurable to Al Haymon, to HBO, to Showtime, to everyone involved in the sport. Well, yeah, Al Haymon, he's banking on, as far as him measuring his success, he's banking on the support of not only the mainstream and casual sports fans, but also the companies who are willing to actually sponsor these events, pay for ad space on his respective efforts on the various networks. When his success is dependent on those factors, I do not see this ending well for Al Haymon, no matter who he puts on the big stage. So Broner versus Porter, although it's a great matchup, and it has the potential of being a real barn burner, I don't think that it's going to be appreciated on the mainstream level, even though it's going to be shown on NBC. That's just my opinion. I think Haymon is going to suffer the most from this negative backlash caused by Mayweather Pacquiao. And in my opinion, guys, well, it's just desserts. Because think about who created this business model for Floyd Mayweather Jr. Think about who created this, this emphasis on money. This business model in which Floyd is the boss, and he pretty much gets, the massive lion's share of all of his events. how demanding he's been in the negotiation room. Guys, that was all Heyman's doing. Floyd did not come up with this by himself. The kid from Grand Rapids? Really? Guys, this was designed by Al Heyman. So in my opinion, well, we reap what we sow in this world. And right now, guys, Al Heyman is reaping what he's sown. That's my opinion of it, guys. And to be honest with you, and even though I say this, I do encourage everyone to tune into NBC this Saturday night. Don't take it out on the fighters. Even if you don't like Al Heyman and his business practice, he is doing very positive things for all of his fighters, as well as the sport of boxing, in bringing the sport back to mainstream TV. Guys, tune in and support Andre Durrell versus James DeGaulle, Edam Rodriguez versus Craig Baker. They should be two very entertaining fights, and they're both very interesting matchups. I just don't think it's going to recognize its potential. I don't think it's going to find its audience. I think it's going to be a long time before the casual mainstream fight fans or sports fans are willing to give boxing another chance. But guys, that's going to do it. We're going to actually cut tonight's show a little bit short. We want to thank everyone for tuning in. We also want to thank the living legend, six-decade fight promoter and matchmaker, Mr. Don Chargan, for gracing the airwaves once again and making a special Tuesday night appearance. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in. And guys, don't forget to visit Fight Saga, fightsaga.com. Thank you for listening to Fight Saga Radio. And I want to give a big shout-out to my friend, Joseph Bergman. Guys, if you're on Facebook, go visit For the Love of Boxing, spelled with the numerical or the number 4, For the Love of Boxing, on Facebook. And guys, always free from fightsaga.com. And remember, this show is sponsored by Affordable Dentures, 240 locations nationwide. For more information, please visit the show's sponsor at affordabledentures.com. But that's going to do it. Have a great Tuesday evening, everyone.